Do you have all the things they say should make you happy, but you still feel unfulfilled? Are you always doing what you should do? Or do you never feel like you're enough? And you want to feel better, more fulfilled, more aligned, and more comfortable in your own body? Then this is the show. Scared as fuck and doing it anyway, showing up authentically. My name is Paula Schuster, and I'm a self-love and authenticity coach. My life completely changed when I started loving myself again, putting myself first, and being true to me. This is the show that's going to help you get out of being stuck, out of the cycles of self-abandonment, and help you choose yourself without feeling selfish. It will give you not only inspiration, but awareness, courage, and insights to make changes and live your life for you. Hey everyone, I'm starting today's episode by sharing a recent review we received about the podcast. I logged on to Apple Podcasts to grab one, to grab a review for this. And I noticed that we had a new one and it just filled my heart right up. And I'm going to share it with you. It's from Rolling Golden and it says, the show is not only inspiring, but you also have such a calming energy. So thank you, Paula. I can't wait to listen and learn more from you and your guests on undoing the conditioning that most of us find ourselves tangled in and how to look within consistently. Aw, I love that. Thank you so much, Rolling Golden, for the review. I appreciate you so much for taking the time to leave one. You inspire me to keep going and to uplevel our content and guests even more. I'm learning how to become an even better interviewer as I go along, and I'm always thinking about you and my listeners and improving the whole experience for you. I would love to connect with you, so if you're feeling it, reach out to me at paula@reikiflowmn.com, and let's talk. All right, welcome back to the Scared as Fuck and Doing It Anyway, Showing Up Authentically podcast. You're with your host, Paula Schuster. What's going on? What's happening with you? What's present for you? Before I get into what's present for me right now, I just want to say that I love you and thank you so much for tuning in today. I'm doing okay today. I've in one respect, I'm better than I have been because I was in this place of feeling really stuck over the last several weeks and kind of couple of months. And I feel like I'm past that or out of it, thankfully. And I think I'm actually going to do a solo episode about embracing that stuckness, but so stay tuned for that. But I'm also a lot less better in other respects in my life because, and I'm just going to share really vulnerably, my wife and I are in the middle of some real challenges in our relationship, and it's a little scary, and it certainly, of course, doesn't feel good. It's just fascinating to me how life works, right? Some areas of our life can be really, really great, while others are just in the shitter. Anyway, Kara and I have been in a tough spot, a rough spot, a tough spot in our relationship in the last several months, and it's taking its toll. It certainly, doesn't help that we have the stress of selling the house added to things. But even if we didn't have that, we haven't been in a great place for a while. And we're questioning if we want the same things for our futures. It's so, so tough because we love each other very much. Like, we deeply love each other. And we know that we've been through this in past lifetimes together. But we don't really like each other as much right now. And it shows in our actions toward each other, in our words, and in our thoughts about each other. We forget that we're on the same team. We nitpick on each other. We get easily frustrated with each other. We both get caught up in wanting to be right. And we get stuck there and then just like pass that energy back and forth instead of one of us letting go and, taking the high road or, just letting the other one have it, letting the other one be right. I'm frustrated with things about her and choices and decisions she makes that I know are actually things within myself that I'm frustrated about. But in the moment, I forget that and I judge her and I think I know what's best for her. And it's this pattern within me. I know it. I see it. I recognize it. And I'm trying desperately to stop it, to let go, to accept and allow and love and flow and to just let her have her own experience. I don't know why it's so hard for me to do that with the person that I'm closest with. You know, through it all though, like I have this underlying feeling that we'll be okay, that we'll figure it out, we'll get past it, and you know, all will be well. But she doesn't have that same underlying feeling. She's struggling. Her underlying feeling is that we're in the worst spot we've ever been in. She's really frustrated and she's having trouble seeing the future where it all works out because of what our current reality is. And it just breaks my fucking heart. On top of it, you know, she's in the height of perimenopause. So we have that large cherry on top of our ice cream sundae. And I remember when I was in that space and my thoughts were really fucking horrible about her, about many other people in my life, about lots of things around me, about my life, about everything, basically. I mean, it was the worst time for me in my life was perimenopause. And those first years of menopause. And I kept most of it in. It would, you know, obviously seep out here and there because it does, right? But most of it I kept silent about, which made it so hard. Like I felt like if I had said the things I was thinking, I would have hurt her irreparably and we would have been over for sure, for good. And I worry if that's how she's thinking about me now, because I don't know if she can sit with it like I did and get through it. You know, she may act on it and then we'd be over, we'd be done. And deep down, like I know if we were to break up, each one of us would be okay. It would suck so fucking bad and it would hurt. Like, oh my God, the hurt we would go through. It takes my breath away just thinking about it. It would be the worst hurt I've ever gone through. But we'd be okay. You know, we'd survive. We'd move on. And who knows, maybe we'd even find our way back to each other again in the future. I don't know. I don't necessarily need to go there quite yet because we're talking through things, thankfully. We're working on our relationship and we're probably going to seek out a couples therapist. And we are both committed. In fact, we just recommitted to each other last night. That we're, you know, we're committed to each other and we're committed to working on making it better. So what am I doing about it? Well, a few things. I'm taking a page out of my friend Chelsea's playbook and making my relationship with Kara the most important thing in my life, which is hard for me. I've always put my kids first, or, you know, back in the day, my job, and more recently myself, because as I've healed and changed and evolved, I believe that in order to fill and serve others, you have to fill and serve yourself first. So I've been putting myself first and I'm going to continue to do that. So tied at the top of the list for me are my relationship with myself and my relationship with Kara. I'm also getting acutely aware of my thoughts, words, and actions about Kara and toward her. And anytime I have a negative thought about her, I'm going to turn it around and turn it into one of love and compassion. Anytime I'm about to say something to her, I'm going to check in with myself before it comes out of my mouth and ask if it's good and positive and if it will serve us. I'm going to ask myself if it has the same care and compassion as I have and as I give to others. And if it's not, if it doesn't, I'm either not going to say it or I'm going to find a way to reframe it so that it does serve us and honor her the way she deserves to be honored. And I'm pouring love and Reiki on the situation as much and as often as I can. I've seen this work before when we were in a bad spot, and I know it will help. Like it will help me and it will help us. Energy is everything, and love and Reiki are two extremely high vibrational energies that can only help and never hurt. So I'm pouring love and Reiki on it. And there'll be more that I do too for me. You know, I'll back down and not have to be right. I'll let go and let flow. And, you know, that's really what's best for me too, you know, anyway. I know I'll suffer less if I do that, and my relationship will suffer less too. So that's what's going on with me and what's present for me. And I bet you weren't thinking that I would be saying that, but I did. And you wouldn't necessarily know that I have this going on in my life if I didn't just tell you. You wouldn't know from what I'm projecting or portraying on the outside, you know, but it's happening. And we need to normalize talking about these things and being vulnerable to share them, which is why I'm doing it. And this is also a good, you know, reminder to always be kind to others, because you never know what really hard things they have going on in their lives that they're hiding or not talking about. So thanks for listening to what's present for me right now. I appreciate you. And from here, I'll do what we humans do and keep going. So on to the guest for this week, the beautiful and lovely Maria Adlam. I met Maria in my podcasting program. We were put in a small pod group together. And even though that program ended many months ago, we all still meet weekly because we love each other. We hold space for each other. We uplift each other. We learn from each other, and we challenge each other. And we're sticking together. The minute I met Maria and you know, heard her start speaking, we had an instant connection. I'm so drawn to her and her nurturing Mother Earth energy. And I feel like we've been in a past life, or maybe even multiple past lives together. Isn't it beautiful when synchronicity works like this? Like, who would have ever thought I would join a podcasting program and be put in a pod group with a woman who lives across the world in New Zealand and feel like I know her like I do? It's so fucking unbelievable and so fucking cool. And I just love it. And I love her so much. I not only love what Maria shares in this episode, but how she shares it too. I admire how she tuned into her intuition and her inner wisdom when it came to her kids and made hard decisions to follow her inner guidance and stay true to her values instead of listening to others. You know, I think I admire that so much in her because I didn't do it when my kids were young. You know, it took me so long, like when they were into their late teens, you know, where I was healed enough to get out of my conditioned mind, enough to listen and hear and follow my inner guidance. And honestly, I don't know if I knew what my values were when my kids were young, because I was looking for those answers outside of myself. And I love that Maria wasn't and didn't. I also just love hearing about other women's journeys and stories and successes, especially Maria's, because she's so dear to my heart. She's soft and graceful and genuine and supportive. She values creativity and beauty. She appreciates the life and nature all around her. And she's been cultivating these same kinds of values in her kids, you know, since they were very young. She's just an amazing mom and friend and soul sister and counselor. And from my vantage point, she's all I wanted in a mother that I never had. And I love having her as my sister. I'm just in awe of her. I'm in awe of how she thinks and talks and carries herself and holds space for others. And I'm so grateful to be connected with her now on this earth in this lifetime. So without further ado, please help me in welcoming Maria Adlam. Welcome, Maria. I am so excited to have you on the podcast today. I just adore you. I love you. I think you're so beautiful inside and out. I love you, and I haven't known you for that long, so I'm just so excited to have you here.
Oh, thank you, Paula. You're going to make me blush. The feeling is very much mutual, and I think it's amazing when you meet people, you just know straight away that there's a connection there, and it's like you've known them for a long time because there's so many things that resonate, and like, and you can share anything, you know. You said to me earlier, like, is anything off limits? And I'm like, no, there's nothing. Even
Good.
though potentially the world can hear this, but talking to you, there's nothing I could share. Yeah, I feel really comfortable, and there's just that instant connection. So I'm really grateful to be here. Thank you.
Oh, good, good. I just am like drawn to you, and I love the way you talk about things and the way that you explain things and just your energy. Like, I love your energy. I think that's probably what it is the most. But anyway, I love your vocabulary and all of it.
Thank you, Paula.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Maria, why don't you start off by giving us all a little bit of context about who you are, so we can kind of get to know you a little bit.
Sure. So I'm Maria and I live in New Zealand, and I live over here with my husband and two children, and they are currently 14 and almost 12. As she likes to tell me, nearly 12. What did I do? In my previous life, I was a teacher for many, many years. I guess I'm once a teacher, always a teacher. I'm just a teacher of different things now, not just children, but that's what I trained to do. And I taught in New Zealand and in London, the other two main places. And when I came back from London, I was working with children who I was at a private school, really prestigious private school in London. And you know, you realize that children are children, regardless of how much money they have, because I taught in the lowest demographic within London as well, in the estate buildings. And these children would come in for news the next day, sharing that their brother's just gone to jail for murder. And like, this was their life, survival. And then I got a job in, you know, the opposite, in the best schools in London. And you know what? At the core of it, they just want to be loved, and they just want to feel safe, and they just want to be children. And there's so much pressure on them to achieve. And you know, I had 6-year-old boys that couldn't even say their full name, let alone write essays. It was just, it didn't seem in balance. So anyway, when I came, my husband and I decided that we would come back to New Zealand because we one day would probably have children, and I just didn't want to have them there. I wanted to come back and be closer to family, and I just wanted them to have the school experience that we had as children, which is vastly different to, well, in London anyway. The rest of the UK might be different, but anyway, so I came back and I realized the job that I went to, they were kind of doing a similar thing, like pushing these children to achieve. And I just thought, what is going on here? Because they weren't happy. They just wanted to play, basically, especially the boys. They just needed to play and do and learn through the doing. And it was just so strong within me, but I didn't really know what to do about it at the time. And then one day, one of the teachers who was doing her teacher training came to work, and she goes, "Oh my gosh, Maria, I've just found the perfect place for you," because I was kind of like the natural, oh, air quotes, hippie person, not really, but for them it felt like, oh yeah, you
That's
like,
why we connect so much.
I'd do the things like, you know, be in nature and bring in natural resources, nothing too extreme really. I didn't have them all out there hugging trees, although that probably would have been beneficial. However, anyway, she said, "I've just found this place that is so you." And okay. And it was a Waldorf school. So I don't know if you've heard of Rudolf Steiner or Waldorf education, but I hadn't really either. Like, we'd touched on it in my teacher training, but not really. There weren't that many schools in New Zealand either. And something within me was like, piqued my curiosity. Like, what is this? And I started looking into it and then thought, okay, but you need to be trained in that way and da da da. And also I'd had my first child at that point, and he was coming to the childcare attached to where I worked, and it was all not great, but it was easy. I didn't see any other way of doing it. I thought,
No.
okay, this is my lot for now. Actually, no, I'd had my daughter by then too. And that's when that internal voice is just really rumbling, that feeling of like discord, something's not quite right, but don't know what it is. Who do I talk to? Nobody. You just sort of get on and do it. Anyway, this place had, they then advertised there's a job going. And it was not on my radar at all to leave where I was, because it was safe and a job and security, I guess, And I thought, I don't know, but there's something again within me that made me just like, I'm going to apply. And I applied and I got an interview. And it was the most grueling interview I think I've ever had. It was pretty intense, like lots of questions, and really made my brain think a lot. But anyway, I got the job. And it was just because they wanted us trained Steiner teacher, which I wasn't. I was, an experienced teacher, but not in that field. So anyway, our lives completely changed at that point. So I had to get really brave and resign from my other job. And I just knew that wouldn't go down well because they did lean on me quite a bit. And it's hard. It has been hard for me in the past to have those big conversations. I'd rather not have them. I'd rather keep the peace, recovering people pleaser, that type of thing. So for me to have that at that point, which was about 11, just over 11 years ago, going on 12 years ago. So me then was a different version to me now. So now I am a bit more brave and I can have those bigger conversations. But back then I still couldn't as easily. So it was a big deal to resign. And the manager, she was okay. She just said, "Well, what are you going to do? All they do is play and they don't learn to read." And I thought, oh my God. That's the least. Anyway, so and I took my children with me. We went to this and I enrolled them in the childcare that's attached to the Steiner, the Waldorf school, which is this beautiful, beautiful home away from home place where the children were just loved. And I could take my cloth nappies in there and nobody blinked an eye. And they fed them organic food. And it was just a completely different experience. And I just felt, the internal happy dance, like, yes, this is the right place for your children. But it was also the right place for me where I went to in that role. So yeah, I just everything about it I loved. And I think when you have moments where you get tested, I mean, I've had many of them, but in this job, which I was loving and my children were loving, but I took a massive pay cut, like huge pay cut to go there, because they're not fully, the school's not fully funded by the government, so they don't have as much money, and because it's a special character school being Waldorf and not mainstream. So I was tempted. You know how there's the temptation in life. The old job really wanted me to come back, so they offered, the shiny things. And I was tempted a little bit because I knew financially it would be so much easier, that pressure would be off. But I was like, I just can't. There's I'd be like, how do you say? This sounds extreme, but it's like selling your soul to the devil type thing, you know? Like, I just couldn't do it. I couldn't go back. I'd been brave. I'd made that choice, and that's the path I'm on. And from that, listening to the inner voice or whatever it was basically pushing me, came out of nowhere, came out of me listening to that one comment from that colleague of mine. Yeah, just I could have just brushed that off. So I think all of those breadcrumbs led me to, I needed to be there, and my children needed to be there. And I'm still there, but I'm in a different capacity now. I'm not teaching, working with children. Well, I kind of am. I run the parent groups, play circle groups, I call them. So I work with the mums and the children, and my main thing is parent education. So that's my main role there. And my children are still at the school. My son has just started high school this year, which is still part of the Waldorf community. So yeah, completely different path. Like private schools in London to this beautiful rustic little Steiner school in Hamilton, New Zealand. Yeah. So that's that entry into where I am right. Well, and from that, what happened? I started working with the parents more, and they would come to me with some really big stuff. They weren't talking to anybody else, really big stuff like postnatal depression or stuff within their dynamics of their home life. And I just thought, you know, I'm a good listener, and you're coming to me because you know I can hold that space for you. But I just didn't feel fully qualified to answer some of these or support them in the way that I kind of knew they needed it, and they wouldn't go anywhere else. So that made me go and do my counselling training. So when became did my counselling, and I just yeah, I was on this big path of learning, big growth phase of just learning so many things.
Amazing.
And and from that, I kind of created my own business, Parenting with Soul, where I work with parents, but I do the counseling is a more holistic counseling. So it's an intuitive counseling. So I do intuitive counseling, parent mentoring, coaching, whatever you want to call that, and Reiki. So that's I offer that as well as running the play circle groups. That's what I'm doing now. And I'm podcasting.
So first of all, the school sounds amazing, this environment, right? I just had somebody on the podcast, another woman the other day, who was who has her they're kind of doing unschooling, or it's kind of a combination between unschooling and homeschooling, and their community of parents kind of got together, and they have this place now, like a school building kind of a thing, where they can all go, the kids and the parents. And it just sounds like this amazing place. It sounds similar to what you're describing. Have you ever heard of Montessori schools in the US?
Yes, so Montessori is quite big in New Zealand as well.
It is.
And
Okay.
so Montessori and Steiner education often get confused because they're both different to the mainstream, but they are very different from each other as well. There are a few aspects that are kind of similar, but the structure and the way that they work with children are different.
Yeah, because Montessori, and I want to hear what how they're different, if you don't mind explaining, because I think Montessori is maybe still, you know, if it was like a continuum, you know, and sort of regular education, or sort of what became normalized, where you kind of came from initially, Montessori might be more on that end of the spectrum than well, is it Waldorf? Is that right? Yeah.
That's right. Waldorf. Yeah, Waldorf education is, it looks at the It's very holistic in its view. So it looks at the whole child. And so we say it's the education of the head, heart, and hands. So we're looking at the head in terms of the mental aspects and the academic learning, and the heart, that's the emotional and the feelings and looking and making sure they're all catered for and looked after. And then the hands, and that's the doing. And the doing as in through their play, through craft, through music, through art. So they are the three areas are all in balance. It's not just the head, which is often the case for other schools, particularly with the pressure for academic success, is let's just focus on that aspect. And then this aspect, the heart area, those emotional areas are just put in a little box and you just push it down and you'll deal with that when you're 35 in therapy or something like that. It doesn't quite. And then the hands, like so many of us, or everybody has a creative, it doesn't have to be a gift, but it's some kind of outlet. And it's often through the doing, moving, using your hands in some way, or your body in some way. It's that physical moving, whatever it is through you, letting that, it's like that divine downloads almost, when artists paint and sing, and even for us as podcasters, sometimes it's whatever comes out and you're like, oh, well, where did that come from? It's like this little divine downloads, and it's when you kind of in balance and in flow that can happen. But if you're always in your head, it kind of just gets, it's a bit of stagnation. So that's the main thing that we look at for working with children is all of those aspects. And it's very, there's a big emphasis on creativity and beauty. So just they will, just the beauty of all things and appreciation of all things of nature and the colors that are used in their for their work. There's it's not a rushed, hurried, quick, get out a pen and just start writing. There's, they still do handwriting and they learn cursive handwriting. So there's a real brain to hand connection, and they learn knitting when they're, seven, because that's all about beginning maths. And there's all the different connections, and there's reasons behind everything. It looks like, oh, they just sit around and have beautiful things and knit. But there's reasons for everything. And my son has just finished the end of I don't know what you call it there. Is it elementary school when before they go to high school? No, I'm
Middle school now,
middle school. Is it how old are they in middle school?
it's like 8th grade, so is the end of middle school, and so it's like 13, 14, no, 14, 15, I think, yeah.
Right. Okay. So it's a little bit. So he's just turned 14. So he's got finished his, we call it the primary intermediate years, and he's going into the, the next phase. But they made, oh, I don't have it to even show you. They made their own dolls by the end of this year, and so it could be in likeness to themselves or somebody else or something else, and so. They had to do all of this intricate sewing and stitching and creating a head. So, like, it was just amazing. And the body parts out of fabric, and that to design and make the clothes for this doll. And it's just amazing just seeing how proud these kids were of their creations. And some of them were cool. They had dreadlocks, or they had like cool clothes, like whatever they dressed them in. And, I loved the one he made so much. It was so cool. And I felt so proud of him. And Christmas morning, he had this big beaming smile on his face. He'd made something else in his woodwork classes as well that he gave to my husband as a gift. And then he said to me, "Here, Mum, this is for you." And opened it up, and here's this beautiful doll. He'd given it to me. And I was like, oh, it was the best gift. Because it's been hours and hours, a whole year in the making, and this beautiful being that he created, basically. Yeah, he gifted to me. It was so beautiful. But they just do such, I guess it's not for everybody, but that's good because not everything is for everybody. We can't all fit into one box. What a boring world it would be. But for those that do resonate with this philosophy, you know, the children thrive and the parents, because it's very community based as well, the parents thrive and so do the teachers and yeah, everything. So when you're, and you know when it's the right fit, you know, it just everything lines up and regardless of the money coming in or not coming in, it works. Like we, for me working there, earning less money, but we never, we were rich, air quotes, in other ways, because we were all so happy as a, we'd found our place. And even for my husband, because I thought, I was like, oh my God, I'm home. This is me. Yay. But then I thought, I can't just put this on him and assume that this is what he will want for the children as well. In my mind, I'm like, this is where they're going to, you know, have the education experience. But so he went to one of the open days, and they call it a journey through the school. And the journey is not just sit down, listen to a person, yabba dabba dabba. They actually take you through every class and they show you, like, you journey through from six through till, you know, into their teen years, what they do, what they experience. And it's just magical. And by the end of it, he just said, oh my God, where do we sign up? But I didn't have to say anything to him. I didn't need to, he felt it too. I
Love
knew
that.
he would. Like he felt that, oh, this is, gosh, this would have been amazing for us if we had it as kids ourselves. So, yeah, so for us, it's been a really amazing experience and really grateful for the little breadcrumbs and the downloads and me being able to, you know, finally be brave and act on them, because normally I would have. You know, I think it's because if you're doing it just for your something just for yourself, you can, you don't always do it. You think, oh no, I can self-sacrifice almost, but you know, you can put up with a lot. But when you know it's for your children and the betterment for them, then you push yourself out of your comfort zone a little bit and you do it, you know. So I think that's what it was. The driver was, I'm doing this for them and their future, rather than just myself. So yeah.
And now they're thriving, and your whole and your family is happy and thriving and rich in all of the ways that really matter, right? Because we didn't come for a pile of things,
That's so true.
right? We
Yeah.
came for love and connection and togetherness and, you know, being happy and living and being and not necessarily doing all the time. Yeah, I just love that so much. I love that you were also following your intuition, right? And listen, like hearing it, hearing the whisper, feeling it, and then following it. Because so many times for people, we might hear those things and we sort of push it away, like, oh, what's that? That does, that's not, you know, or we don't listen, we don't follow through, and then look at all of look at the magic on the other side of following through.
Yeah, 100%. Because my life, our lives would have looked, well, I know how they would be looking right now. And yeah, exactly. Have the things, but my soul would be a very sad little wee person being. It's, you know, this, that was very, very strong. And I think throughout my life, it's been easy to push that down. You know, as a child, I was, I think if I had somebody as a child to explain to me the things I was seeing or feeling or experiencing, it would have made the path into adulthood a little bit easier. You know, I knew I wasn't alone. Like that spirit world when you're a child was very much alive. And I think trying to be more present with me, or but I just didn't understand it. I mean, I'd ask my parents about, I remember asking my mum one day about like what are all these well, like orbs and shiny light. I have all the different colors and like little angels coming. She'd say, and she'd look at, because she didn't know what to say. What do you say to that when you don't know yourself? And she said, oh, it's just the lighting. Your eyes must be just adjusting. And that happened all the time. And in the end, I didn't say anything. And then I just, you know, it's like Puff the Magic Dragon. Gosh, that story always makes me cry. And, you know, you just, in one day, little Jackie Paper came no more. It like you just it switches off, and but it came knocking back when I was, you know, back into adulthood, like not necessarily going back into that world, but it's the intuition, I think, following your inner guidance and knowing and getting back on track there. And I think one of the big things that really drew me back into that world was my daughter was born, or when she's a young baby, we could tell her skin wasn't quite, you want to say normal, it wasn't quite right. It's a little bit rough, but, you know, it wasn't that beautiful smooth baby skin. And the doctor just said, oh, you know, it could be eczema, but we'll just see. But once she started eating solid food, then her skin really flared up. So basically from about 8 months old, 9 months old, it got progressively worse. And from about a year old, we went through about a 3 or 4 year journey of, well, it almost felt like hell, but it was a really, really, really hard time because her skin was extremely bad. It looked like she's a third degree burns victim for a lot of those early years. It would just peel off her, and it was awful, really hard. And because her skin was so compromised, she'd get infections all the time. And so she's basically like a mummy, bandaged head to toe. And it was really, really hard because I'm battling with a medical system that just want to band-aid the problem with steroid cream. And when I would ask about, I mean, to me this is not too far fetched, food intolerances, or, and they'd just say, no, it's not that. And I said, but how do you know it's not that? And so I got more and more curious, and I just became a avid researcher in this area. And you know, you'd have these specialist appointments for 10, 15 minutes every couple of months, and they then tell you this is what it is and this is what you need to do. Meanwhile, I've been living with this for the last, you know, that 2 months between appointments, and living on like seriously no sleep. We just did not. I would have to hold her. I'd hold one of her arms and put my leg around one of her legs so she wouldn't scratch, because she'd just scratch in the night and she'd be covered in blood. The sheets would be blood. But I had to sleep with her so that she wouldn't scratch, even though she's bandaged up. But where there's a will, there's a way. And you know, that's so, yeah, I just did not sleep in that time. So when I would ask questions, they just would say, oh, you're just sleep deprived. You know, I'm like, yeah, I am, but I just want to get to the root cause of this problem. I want to make it better for her. I don't want to just keep putting steroid cream on. And if I'm to put steroid cream on, I'd need to use a whole tube every time because I'd need it on her whole body. It's not just one little patch. And they didn't have an answer, so it was kind of, you know, oh, so frustrating. So what I would do, I would go to these appointments because they would give me bandages. So basically, I'm just, yeah, didn't want to have to pay for them. So I go there, and just as a check-in, just so they could see where she was at. And then I'd go to the nurse, and the nurse would say, all right, what do you need? And then I would tell her. She said, what creams do you need? And I said, oh, I'm actually making my own now. She goes, oh, okay. And then as time went on, she'd ask me about, so tell me about these creams you're making. And I've got so and so, you know, a relative that's got eczema. And I want to let them know what you're doing too. We'd have our private little consultations away from the specialist who just wanted stronger steroids. But yeah, what I realized was eczema is a long game. It's not a quick fix. If you want a quick fix, you can put on a steroid cream and momentarily it will give it a little bit of reprieve, but it's not long term at all. It's not sustainable. And I just went on this mission to remove it from her body and her DNA. I don't know. This is a thing in my head that I had. Before I knew about Bruce Lipton, before I knew about epigenetics, I just had the strong feeling of I need to rewrite the story within her genetic makeup because the girl children on my husband's side of the family, they all had eczema really bad. Not the boys, the girls. And I thought, this is,
Interesting.
it's really interesting. And they were much older than her. And they went down the path of steroid cream and everything else. And their skin, they're still struggling today. They're struggling with really thin skin, weight, just it's not fun for them. But when you're in your late teens or going through your teen years and early 20s, you're more worried about what you look like. And so then they cover it up with makeup or whatever, and then that doesn't help. So the cycle continues. And I just thought for Maya, I just did not want that journey for her. And I knew it was going to be I knew it was going to be a hard road. And it was hard. But we got there. And I realized that the main way to help her was for everything that went in her food and on her creams, I had to make myself. So like very few ingredients, all natural. Like whole foods, organic when we could. And because she's super sensitive to the chemicals and preservatives and that type of thing. So yeah, I learned a lot about everything in that time. And in that time, I was trying everything. And somebody said to me, this is at the school I'm at, have you ever tried Reiki? Maybe you could try Reiki. And I said, never heard of Reiki. Don't know Reiki. And again, I had that little feeling inside, like I had the same feeling when I had the interview for that job. And something's like, oh.
I just
I'm
got
like,
goosebumps everywhere. Like, yep. I love where you're going.
yeah. And I thought, I'm going to do it. I've got no idea what this is. And I met this, woman who did Reiki, but she's also a clairvoyant, and I just loved her straight away. Beautiful, beautiful, amazing woman. And she said the Reiki, because I thought I was doing taking Maya to have a Reiki treatment. That's what I thought I was doing. And she said, how about before you bring Maya, you just come yourself and let's just have a chat, have a conversation. And I did that, and it ended up being, yeah, I was with her. We just sat down with a cup of tea and chatted for about 3 hours of everything. And it was kind of like a reading, but also just a chat and a everything. I'm like with a long lost friend that I, and she goes, oh yeah, we know each other, not from this lifetime. We know each other. It was amazing. And I can't even tell you that my whole body, you know, the goosebumps you're just talking, I was just like vibrating almost. It was just, I couldn't explain it because up until that point, I had ignored all of those. I think I'd been following intuition a little bit, but I had no idea, you know, from shutting it down as a child to at this point, I'm in my 30s. It was like, and I'd come back online. And so my body was just like, yes, having a massive party. And it felt amazing. And I had no idea what was happening or why it was happening, but it felt right.
Yeah.
So I just went along with it. And yeah, the things she was sharing, and she said, "You know, you're a healer, right?" And I'm like, "Nope, no, I don't know." And she said, "Yeah, you are. That's it's one of the reasons you're here. You're just finding your way to get to that point." And so Maya's eczema was, she's born in 2012 as well, which is a big year in itself. That was my opening, that portal, like, and I think for many people in 2012 it was, but yeah, her coming into the world in that year and all those things that happened needed to happen to get me back on where I'm, back on track, really, where I'm meant to be going. And yeah, so my life looks completely different. And it's the gift of that experience with Maya with the eczema, which was freaking hard. It was so, so tough. But so necessary, I guess. And fast forward to now, she's nearly 12, nearly 12. She's not eczema free, but she has a few patches on her ankles. That's her area that she gets it. And her skin's beautiful. So we've pushed through those
Amazing.
big, hard times, but she's pretty much clear. And there's no, she's a thriving, beautiful girl without that as a disability, if you like, because it can be. And she now knows herself, her own triggers, so she can self-manage. If I still make her creams, she makes them with me, and or she'll come. We use a plant called kawakawa, which you won't have over in the States, but it's native to New Zealand, and it's a very sacred plant, small tree, and the leaves are shaped like a heart. They're
Oh.
beautiful. They're really beautiful. So if she knows she needs some more balms or whatever made, she now goes and she'll harvest them, and she knows that process of asking permission from the plant and making sure it's a yes and saying her intention as to why she needs them. And she'll come back and she'll say, "Yeah, I've got my we call it rongoā, but got my plants, got my medicine, really, to make my medicine." And she knows that process of which is, I love it. I love seeing that she is in tune with that aspect as well. So
So beautiful, just amazing.
yeah.
My daughter had skin issues too, not to like compare or anything, but just like I can relate, not quite as bad as yours, but and one of the we went through everything, right? Specialists, all the bullshit creams they wanted to give us. I tried Chinese herbs, acupuncture, Chinese medicine. Because she just had like hives, like chronic hives everywhere. And now she has psoriasis too, but we couldn't get rid of the hives for forever. And what I ended up doing was this was before I was attuned to Reiki, so I didn't even know about Reiki. But I did know about Dr. Joe Dispenza. And so I signed her up for one of his coherence healing sessions. And it's a form of Reiki that they're doing, right? They're just sending love, right? They just focus so much love on the person. And her hives were gone within 24 hours.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And did they return?
The hives never returned. She now has psoriasis, which is another sort of form of this autoimmune, thing that's within her. And she knows, the best ways to manage it, but she doesn't always do the things to manage it. She's 18 now and off in college, and I gotta let her have her own path and that, but
It's I love that 24 hours, the power of, and because you are fully trusting as well in that moment. And they do. They know it's just a direct divine connection, and we just have to get out of the way.
Exactly.
Because I think with the Reiki, once I had that big chat and everything with Jean, it's her name, I had a Reiki treatment myself to experience it, and I was like, oh my God. And she said, yeah, you're going to learn this, and this is what you're going to do. You know, you're going to. And at the time I thought, yeah, right, no, that's not what I'm going to do. Not that I didn't believe in it. It was just like, oh, anyway. But I did learn it, and it was just amazing. But what I realized was the Reiki wasn't for Maya exactly. It was for myself. So by learning Reiki, I could truly keep myself in that that balanced flow state, and I wasn't getting too reactive or allowing myself to dip into the woe is me and that, because it was tough. It was tough. I just was able to keep on going, and in a supportive, loving way. And I know that's from Reiki. I know, because I was had a self practice, self Reiki healing practice, you know, for me. And it just set me up for the day that I could meet my family, my work, in the best way I could, and without the ups and downs and wobbles.
Right.
And so it's just been such a gift. And that was about 10 years ago, I think, I first learned it. And that is still one of my non-negotiable daily practices, is self-Reiki. Might be a couple of minutes, might be, sometimes it's longer, I can do half an hour or more. But I kind of, within that, it's that whole, you know, woman, how we multitask. I'm doing the self-Reiki, but I'm also in that space. So it might be prayer, it might be a little bit of meditation if I know that I can't do all of the things, if I haven't got enough time in the morning, but I'll kind of do a bit of a combination. And ideally, I guess you redo it on its own, but self-Reiki always keeps me in my calm zone, and it's enabled me to do, I think it really has opened the doors for everything else that I do, and how I do it, is Reiki was the entry into that world. So I'm super forever grateful for it. I love it.
Same, like we have that in common too. Like that was like the portal for me. I mean, that was like everything. When I got attuned to Reiki, like there was so much healing, so much shedding of all the layers of trauma and all the bullshit. And it was this huge awakening experience for me when I was attuned. Mm-hmm. I was attuned to all three levels in 1 week. And my during my Reiki one attunement, like I literally felt my soul coming back to my body. Like it was amazing. And then I saw myself in a past life as a young Native American healer. And
got the goosebumps too.
Yeah. So when you were talking, like I literally had a vision of us in another life dancing together. Like we were in a women's group together somewhere, and we were like dancing in nature in like white gown kind of things with our hair just flowing. And oh my God, like I know. Yeah.
And I know that scene. I know that. And apparently I've had quite a bit of time over in your area of the world. So it resonates strongly. And that's amazing. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
I just love it how, you know, of all the connections and people in the world, and you just find your people, like you just come together somehow.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing. The universe works in amazing ways.
Oh,
I love that you, and I have this same kind of practice where, you know, it's sort of fluid every day between meditation, prayer, and Reiki, right? And I might be giving it to myself, I might be giving it to others, you know, like if I know my kids are needing it for some reason, then that's what's happening in my sort of daily thing when I sit down in the morning to meditate. Sometimes it's meditation, and then prayer gets flow, you know, sort of flows throughout. And we're doing the same exact thing. I
know,
love-
I know. So good. Yeah. Because I think we can get quite caught up in as mothers as well, when life does get busy and you're aware of wanting to unbusy yourself.
Yeah.
And it's something that you do, it's there and you're striving for, but it's not that easy. And then when you've got this idea of having a beautiful, non-negotiable self-care practice in the morning.
Yeah.
But realistically, yeah, you might want to do meditation and have time for Reiki or journaling or whatever it is. But when your children kind of wake up the minute you make a noise, it's really hard. Like, how do you even create that? So that's why for Reiki, I stay in bed. I'm awake and but I don't actually get up until I've done that, because if I get up, they'll hear me. They're a bit older now, so it's a bit easier, but it's just what I've done since when they were younger. I'll do my Reiki practice and just whatever it is, the stillness before I get up, and then start the day. And if I still have a bit of time before they get up, great, I can have my little lemon drink in the morning. But if not, I feel like I've still set myself up a little bit, rather than being hard on myself for, oh, I didn't get to carve out 30 minutes of my own time in the morning, the way I wanted to. You've got to be a little bit creative, when you've got children around,
Yeah,
particularly.
I love this. I love it so much. I do some things when I'm laying in bed in the morning too. So you, this is your non-negotiable. You do it right away in the morning to set yourself up to have, to be able to serve everyone around you, right? To be able to come at the day, to be able to approach the day from this loving space, from this space of patience and all these things for your kids, your family. What do you use any other practices to keep you in that space, or to keep you present, or to keep you tuned into your intuition? I mean, it kind of is all connected, but.
I tell you something I did before I knew about any of these things. Well, knew them, but didn't know them. When Maya was, when we're in the depths of this eczema journey, and I, before I learned Reiki or anything else, it was hard, and but I didn't have anybody. Like, I had my husband, but I had no one that I knew to, that was experiencing or had experienced a similar thing, or maybe they had, but it was quite different to what our experience was. So, neither of us had family. Where we lived, they lived hours and hours away. So, and the friends that we had all had children the same age. So, like, young babies and toddlers, it's not easy just to say, I need some help. And
Yeah.
that's not what I did. It's really hard for mums, I think, to ask for help. And I was terrible at it. So we really were on our own. And my husband's working full time, and he was the main. So I just thought, I just have to. I don't know what made me think of this, but every night and every morning, rather than letting myself go to a dark place or feel like I can't do this anymore, I just can't do it. Because when you're that tired, oh my God, I used to do some really dumb things.
Yeah. Well, I
Some
mean,
stupid,
not
stupid,
to.
some really stupid things. Just like, so absent-minded, like not shutting the front door and leaving all day, and just silly things. And anyway, so I started a practice where I hadn't it's a I know it's a thing, but I didn't know it was a thing. And it was basically a gratitude practice. So I'd lie there and I'd just go through the things I was grateful for the day. And sometimes it was just real basic, like, you know what, the sun came out today, and da 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 da. Like, there was so many tough things that happened in the day. Because of course, I've got a toddler who was trying to do life with a mother with no sleep and a baby who's very sick, and he was just doing what a 2 and a 3 year old is going to do when they're not being met. But that was fun as well. But I would find the good things of the day, and that would help me go into a peaceful place, because I wasn't sleeping a lot, but I was at peace. And she's Maya's right beside me. And then if she'd drift, and I'm feed still breastfeeding her all throughout this because I'm trying to get boost her immunity as much as I can. So I was busy fading away to pretty much nothing. And she looked, apart from eczema, she was still thriving. Like she's a, well covered wee lass. And in the morning, I'd do the same. I'd be, today's a really good day. Today is a great day. We're going to have a good day. And so basically, I had an appreciation practice, gratitude practice, but I didn't really know what it was. It's just what I did. Again, something I think just sort of dropped in and said, do this to keep yourself. And when I'm in that space of appreciation, I think that's when I can hear the message or the suggestion of, have you tried Reiki? Because maybe I wouldn't have listened. Yeah, so that practice hasn't changed either. I am always trying to be in a space of appreciation and gratitude and noticing the little things. And the biggest thing that will keep me in that space is being outside in nature. I love Mother Earth so much. I love her. I love all of her beings, and especially her non-human beings, like the trees and the plants and everything. And just, you just walk outside and there's so much beauty everywhere. Even if it's outside in a concrete city and there's that little flower, a daisy or something trying to poke through the cracks, and you're like, aren't you just amazing? Like, look at you. And it's just, you can find the beauty and that awe and wonder of nature everywhere. And if you can take, and it sort of fills you up. For me, it really does fill me up. And you can take that into your life of how you go about your life, your conversations, your work, your whatever you're doing, in a space of, I don't know, appreciation. And yeah, that definitely got me through those times, and it continues to today.
Yeah, amazing,
Yeah.
Maria. There's books about that written today now, about having a morning appreciation practice, And that is one of the things, that's what I do before I open my eyes, even. Like when I first notice I'm awake, that's the first thing I do is I go into my appreciation practice and not just kind of list them off, but really feel into the appreciation of what it is. And sometimes it's really simple, and sometimes it's, sometimes it's just, my bed's so comfortable and my sheets feel so good on my skin, and that sometimes it's something bigger happening in my life. Like I'm so glad to be part of this container that I'm in or whatever, this container of women or whatever. But yeah, I love you. I love that we have so much in common now that we're,
Me
even finding
too.
out about each other. And we're coming to the end. Like I could sit here and talk forever. Like it could 3 hours could go by, and I would be like a blink.
Oh.
But I love how, you brought it around to, some of the things that listeners can take away in terms of like daily practices and just the power of Reiki and how much it can help mind, body, spirit. And nature can as well, and just the beauty of anything. I mean, all you got to do is look at, like, if you even have just a house plant, like I've got house plants all around me right here, and I'm like, you can just look at a house plant, stare at that for a minute and go like, wow, like look at the life there,
No, absolutely.
So you are such a beautiful human being, and I cannot wait to get to know you better and spend more time with you. I don't know how we're going to do it living across the continents, but we got to find a way because I'm in love, man. I'm in love.
Where there's a will, there's a way, Paula. We'll make it happen. No, thank you. I feel the same way. I feel very, really, really blessed and so grateful that our paths have come together. That's really exciting.
It is. And thank you so much for sharing today and for being on. Like, yeah, it's just been such a gift to have you.
Thank you.
Where can people find you? Because I have a feeling people might wanna get to know and follow you.
Thank you. Probably the easiest way, I'm on Instagram under Parenting with Soul. That's my business, Parenting with Soul. That's Instagram and Facebook. Website is in the making, so that's not there yet. And I have a podcast called Soulful Mamas, and that's a place where mums come on and share their stories, and it's just a connecting space where we can come together and be seen and heard and witnessed, basically, and for mums to truly have a voice and be able to express this and share their story and feel like, oh my God, I'm actually amazing, you know, and you can be celebrated. So yeah,
Yes.
that's what that is all about, is the creating that space for women, really, for mums. And so that's Soulful Mamas. And yeah, otherwise Parenting with Soul on Instagram. I am trying really hard to be a bit more consistent on there, but yeah, you'll find me.
And you do such a beautiful job of creating a space for women in your podcast. Like, I totally love it. Everybody should go out and listen to it. Follow Maria's podcast, Soulful Mamas. It is amazing. I love everything you're doing there, and you just do it so spectacularly well, I think.
Oh, thank you, Paula.
You're
Thank you.
welcome. You're welcome. All right. Love, love, love to you, Miss Maria
Yeah.
Adlam.
Thank you, Paula. Really appreciate you. Love you so much.
Okay. Talk soon.
Okay.
Isn't she just the sweetest, most nurturing person ever? Just like her voice is. Anyway, I feel super connected with her, as I'm sure you could tell. And I feel super connected, and I love the natural ways that she lives and raises her kids and the divine feminine energy that just exudes from her. Thank you, universe, for connecting us. And thank you, dear Maria, for all that you teach me. Okay, here are the takeaways from our conversation. Number one, be aware of your intuition, of your inner guidance, and follow the breadcrumbs. Your inner wisdom will always put you on the right path for you. Number two, get curious about yourself and everything and everyone around you. Number three, being true to your personal values means more in life than a bigger paycheck. Oh my God, I second that like 100,000,000%. Took me a long time to realize that, but number four, be the strongest advocate for your children, no matter what anyone says, including doctors and other so-called authorities. Number five, learning Reiki is such a gift for yourself and for your family. It opens doors to everything and connects you to your intuition. And just something that I'll add to that, like anybody can learn Reiki. It's super easy. And I teach it if you're interested. Just reach out and we'll figure out a time. Number six, have and honor non-negotiable daily practices for yourself. These are what set you up to be able to serve everyone around you from a loving, patient, present space. What are your non-negotiable daily practices? Get creative with fitting them in because it's not always doable to carve out the time to get them done in the way that you like to. Number seven, find your people, your real people. They can come into your life in the most unsuspecting and inexplicable ways. I have a hard time with that word. You just never know what's going to lead to you finding somebody in your tribe. Number eight, gratitude is so powerful, no matter how basic. Find the good things in your day and life, even if it's noticing the little things like the sun was shining. Having a morning and evening gratitude or appreciation practice can carry you through the most difficult times in your life. Number nine, find the beauty, awe, and wonder in nature everywhere and appreciate it, even if it's a little flower or weed trying to poke through the concrete in the city. I love that. And by the way, like I used to think when people would say, oh, appreciate nature, I used to like roll my eyes. And now, like, I can't wait to get my bare feet on the grass and yeah. Appreciate nature, watch little bees and flowers. Yeah, anyway, how people change. All right, my little thing about mud water. Have you tried mud water yet? It is, I think it's Awesome. I love this drink. It's a coffee replacement drink I have every morning. I think it's best with a little honey and oat milk. My two favorite things about it are that it's organic and that it's made with mushrooms, so it has tons of health benefits. Mushrooms are healing for people and the earth. And the best part is you can get 15% off using my link, which is mudwater.com/Paula Schuster. That's MUDWTR.com/PAULASCHUSTER. And I'll put a link in the show notes too. It was pretty cool hanging out with you today. And I look forward to next week on the Scared as Fuck and Doing It Anyway podcast. Thank you so much for being here. I know you have a ton of things going on, especially as we're getting into summer. And I just really appreciate that you take time out of your life to be here. I hope my podcast helps you. I hope it inspires you. I hope it fills you up. I hope it sheds new light on things. I hope this particular episode inspires you to connect with your inner wisdom, to recognize it, to listen to it, and to follow it. There are amazing episodes on the way, so please make sure you follow along on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you're listening, and be sure to subscribe, like hit the little subscribe thing or the follow thing. And if any of the episodes resonate with you, take a minute to share them with someone. Take a second to email the link to this episode or another episode that you think could really to someone who could really use the conversation, or the fact that if you think of someone that it might help. And I would absolutely love it if you would leave us a review or a rating, because it not only is so uplifting, but it helps other people find the podcast too. And we all know everything's algorithms these days, and I'm really trying to grow my podcast and get better and have it be a more rich experience for all of you, my listeners. So I'm always open to feedback along those lines. And then finally, I would love to hear from you. One of the reasons why I created this podcast was to connect with more people. So reach out. You're always welcome to reach out to me. I'd love to chat, to connect, to hear what you like or don't like about the podcast. And if you don't want to talk about the podcast, let's talk about something else. You can always reach me at paula@reikiflowmn.com. I love you so much. Peace out until next week.